not enough.
Ball's going to be booted into touch by Willie Hines. And the Crusaders have finally done it. And it really has been a good Friday for the Crusaders.
And thank God for Nisbo as well. It took much longer than anyone would have predicted, but the Crusaders are finally on the board in Super Rugby in 2024 while the top two teams continue their charge, albeit picking up some concerning injuries along the way. So to dive a little bit deeper into what we can take out of round six, we're joined by the voice of rugby in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and that is Sky Sports' Grant Nisbet. Nisbo, good morning to you.
G'day, Smithy.
All right, there. What did you make of that performance by the Crusaders over the weekend? You're on the spot.
Unbelievable turnaround, really. And the most surprising thing was the change in playing style, Smithy. They actually moved the ball around at will. They took quick taps. They played the game at speed. And I think it was a bit foreign to some of the boys on the Crusaders side, but they started to enjoy it. They started to think, this is great. We're moving the ball around. We're not playing. And I'm not trying to be detrimental here. Our normal sort of conservative type of rugby, they actually threw all caution to the wind. It was almost like it was desperation, and it worked. And it worked really well. And I don't know whether the Chiefs had planned to play a Crusader side that was playing in that manner. So it was very refreshing. And very encouraging from their point of view, given that there are still a lot of players to come back. Whether they will come back or not after the way the Crusaders played is another thing. But, very, very refreshing approach from the Crusaders, and they got their rewards for it.
So, Nisbo, you've called this side, this franchise for years and years and years. Sometimes you've had to grit your teeth to do it, but they've been so successful. I just wonder, Nisbo, the signs that you saw, do you believe now they're a possibility to be a threat, or are they going to just be a spoiling side from here on in?
I still think they're a threat. They've got time. I mean, if you look at the table at the moment, you'd say, how the hell would they ever come from there? They've got to keep winning quite clearly. I don't think there's much problem with them making the playoffs. And if, of course, they make the playoffs, those games become a one-off, and I think any team who makes the playoffs will be very nervous about playing the Crusaders. I mean, it's hard to fathom that a team started with five consecutive losses can be a threat, but they are the Crusaders, after all. They know how to win. I think they've found themselves another playing style here, which clearly worked for them on Friday night. So I think they're still a threat. They're not the Crusaders of old, I don't think. I mean, how can you be when you haven't got the likes of, Mwanga, Whitelock, Whanganuku, you name it. But they're starting to find some new stars. Well, I thought Noah Hotham, for instance, on Friday night was quite outstanding at halfback. And he really only played by accident because Mitch Drummond wasn't available to play. But he gave them an extra spark. And look, I still think, Smithy, even though they started 0-5, that they can be a threat in this competition.
What about the Chiefs, Nisbo, without Damien McKenzie? Is he the link for them? I mean, is it crucial for them in terms of their hopes that he stays fit, or can they live without Damien McKenzie?
No, they can't live without him. Not in the really big games. He is a point of difference. There's no doubt about that. Crusaders found that without Richie Mwanga at the start of the season. They're now starting to find ways to compensate for that. But you take Damien McKenzie out of the Chiefs team, and they lose a lot of their spark. They lose a lot of their direction. They become a little more predictable because, of course, one of the hallmarks of his play is that he is unpredictable. And so I think, for the big games, they absolutely need him to be there.
A year ago, we knew the name Cam Roygaard, but we weren't thinking about talking him in terms of being an absolute necessity, not only for the Hurricanes, but the All Blacks. How big a problem is this for the Hurricanes going forward, the loss of Cam Roygaard?
Well, it is a problem, but it's not a major, given that TJ Perenara is now fit again. If they'd had to call, you know, had to fall back and Perenara hadn't been fit and available to play, then it might have been a problem. But Roygaard is outstanding. I mean, he's quite clearly the form halfback in the country. And one of the great, one of the great dilemmas of the World Cup, or one of the great question marks over the World Cup, is why the hell he didn't make the reserve bench for the World Cup final. But that's another story. But his form was undeniable, and it'll be interesting now to see how long it takes for him to come back, if he comes back. I haven't really heard an update as to what the timeline is, but it certainly didn't look good as he went off the field. But he had already stamped his mark on that particular game, as he had on two or three prior to that. But in Perenara, I mean, what better sub to come on? A bloke who's played 80-odd test matches, who looks to be getting right back to his best form, had to sit on the bench for years and years and years and sub for Aaron Smith. And now he'll get massive game time, I'd imagine, for the Hurricanes. So, look, it is a problem, but it's not an absolute game changer.
What about the vanquished, the Highlanders, now 2-4 and conceding a lot of points in in the process as well? I mean, some of these defeats they're taking are pretty heavy.
Yeah, look, I had high hopes for them at the start of the season, and, you know, maybe I'm being a little premature in writing them off right now. It's the old story of depth, Smithy. You know, if you lose some key players, you've got to be able to replace them with similar type of players. And it's always been a problem at the Highlanders, the depth. And I know, talking to one or two board members, et cetera, that this year was a kind of a rebuild. They had a big clean out last year. They've got Jamie Joseph in behind the scenes there. They've had a little bit of a tweak in the coaching ranks. So I don't think their expectations going into the season were that high. They more were sort of focusing on how good they may be next season. So 2-4 doesn't sound good. I think the signs are promising. When they come up against really good teams like the Hurricanes, they struggle. They should be able to win their share of games. I'd be really disappointed if they didn't make the, as they didn't last year, if they don't make the playoffs.
Blues under Vern Cotter seem to be ticking over and perhaps finding combinations now, as we can see from the number of points they're starting to rack up. And there was plenty over Tana Umanga's Moana Pacifica at Eden Park the other night. What did you make of both those sides?
Yeah, look, I was really disappointed with Moana. Again, there were some very promising signs at the start of the season, and they played better than last year, but still not where Tana would like them to be, I'm sure. There have been some promising signs, but not consistently. And I think if you talk to Vern Cotter, he'd probably say much the same. They're kind of ticking along here without being all that convincing. Sure, they put away the Crusaders the week before by a reasonable margin and difficult conditions, but I don't know whether they've hit their straps yet. A little bit like the Chiefs in some ways. If you spoke to Clayton McMillan, I don't think he'd be that happy with the way they're playing. They're okay. They've lost a couple of games, and you know, they're going to make the playoffs pretty comfortably, I would imagine. I think the same applies with the Blues. They're okay without looking as though they're going to win the title as yet.
Yeah, interesting that, actually. They don't fill you full of confidence, I must say. Is there a threat in Australia? It'd be the Brumbies won the tight one over the Reds, which was a big win for them away from home, 20-19, and they now sit, what, third on the table, or second equal, the Brumbies, on points. But is there a threat from Australia, or was that early sort of blast just a bit of a smokescreen?
Yeah, well, it might have been. I think there were early hopes for the Waratahs. They had one particularly good win. I'm trying to think over who it was now. Was it the Chiefs?
Crusaders.
Somebody. Yeah, okay. But that seems to have faded pretty quickly. And I think it's down now to the Reds and the Brumbies. As you say, the two teams who met last weekend, and the Brumbies got home by 1 point. I think those two teams remain the threats. And you know, it's almost same old when it comes to the Brumbies. They took a while to find their feet this year, didn't they? And I think they turned it all around, actually, in Dunedin. I was down there a couple of weeks ago, and I think they played really well when they had to. And the same applied with them in Brisbane over the weekend. They played really well when they have to. So I think the Brumbies are the major threat coming out of Australia. I've seen vast improvement in the Reds this year under Les Kiss, and I think they remain to have a good potential. I'd be disappointed if they didn't make the playoffs. And again, like the Crusaders, they'll be tough to beat if they do make the playoffs. So I'm sort of despairing of the Waratahs. I don't know what the hell's happened there, but I have hopes for the Brumbies and the Reds. They look to be the two threats. The others are sort of making up the numbers a wee bit.
Yeah, it's a bit of a worry, actually, when you consider some of them, including the Rebels, are fighting for their survival, but they did get that win over the Waratahs at the weekend. It also appears, Nisbo, you really don't want to go to Fiji if you really have to win.
No, you do not. And I think that's three in a row up there. Conditions haven't been all that brilliant. We all know, anyone who's been to the islands knows that when it rains, it absolutely pours. And those were very, very difficult conditions. But boy, you'll be looking at the program ahead, thinking who else has to go up there. I think the Hurricanes have to go up there, which is going to be interesting because they are the form team at the moment. And will the Drua knock them over? Who knows? But yes, I mean, and they haven't been too bad away from home either. There's been vast improvement in the Drua, and it's great to have them in the competition because they play their own style of rugby. Smithy, we all know how good Fiji Sevens teams have been over the years. There's always been a question mark over the 15s. But now they can really lay a foundation here to make their national team good because, you know, the way they're playing in Super Rugby at the moment, they could be right up there. So I'm enjoying watching them play. I just fear for the teams that have to go up there.
Speaking of national teams, how do you think Scott Robertson's piece of paper is filling up? You think he's getting questions answered this early, or are you playing a waiting game?
Well, we hear that he's been up to Japan and been talking to people, so who knows? Who knows how all this is going to play out? You know, will he? I'm pretty sure Artie Salvia will be available to play, and it sounds like Beauden Barrett will be available to play. Whether Sam Whitelock comes back has been a real point of discussion over the last week or so. Once Robertson had made an approach, there's been very much for and against this, and I must say, from my point of view, I'm not totally for it, Smithy. I just feel that once an era is over, it's over, and you don't keep harking back. If it was World Cup year, then maybe. But we're still another 3 years out from the next World Cup, and I just wonder about the value. Whether he comes, if he comes, as a kind of a mentor rather than a player, that's a different story. But it's going to be really interesting to see how that pans out. But I think overall, Robertson will be looking around the country thinking to himself, boy, we've got some depth in this country, and we all knew that. Sure, we're a little bit lean in certain positions, but overall, I've enjoyed Super Rugby this year. I've enjoyed it more, I think, than I certainly did last year and maybe the year before. And I think the referees have played a part here too, because they've kept the game moving. There have been very few dud games. Sure, conditions on occasions can negate things a wee bit. And I think back to that Crusaders Blues game at Eden Park, which was a little bit on the boring side. But the conditions played a big part in that. But you get a hard game and a referee who wants to keep the game rolling. And I actually think the standard of rugby has been better, and it's been better to watch. And as a result, I think Robertson will be feeling pretty buoyant about the team that he can finally put down in a few months' time.
I guess in his situation, Nisbo, what is he requiring here? Is he sort of saying, I have to have instant success against England and this season to get credibility? Sam Whitelock, these players he's talking about bringing back, are they going to be World Cup contenders in 4 years anyway? I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. Most of the names you just mentioned there are unlikely to be around in 4 years. So are we looking at a Scott Robertson who has, for his own sake and the credibility sake, is really only talking about this year?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, I mean, the World Cup is, of course, the ultimate game, but it's only 4 years. It's only once every 4 years. In the meantime, of course, you've got to retain the Bledisloe Cup, and there's always pressure on an All Black coach retaining the Bledisloe Cup, because we all know the stats. it's over 20 years, and you don't want to be the first coach that loses the Bledisloe Cup to Australia. You've got the Rugby Championship, and Scott Robertson's an ex-All Black, and ex-All Blacks have a mindset. They don't want to lose anything to any time to anyone. And, you know, he'll be looking at 15 test matches this season, and he'll be looking at 15 Ws. And how he goes about it is kind of right in the forefront of his mind. He won't be looking at any losses at all in 2024, Smithy.
You're absolutely spot on there, because losing's not part of his vocabulary, or it hasn't been over the years, as we well know. Nisbo, and just one more thing before I let you go. There's another, I guess, match or test match being played out, and that's in the boardroom at the moment. Rob Nicoll, of course, is very, very vocal behind this change of administration after the Pilkington report, etc. But it still seems there's work to do to get it across the line, because I would imagine the provincial unions are a little bit still reluctant to hand over power, because they know once they hand it over, they'll never get it back.
Yeah, look, I've got to be honest with you, Smithy. Rugby politics leaves me a bit cold, and my eyes kind of glaze over a bit when people start talking about what's happening in the boardroom and all of this sort of stuff, and words like governance and all this sort of nonsense. We all know that there are problems in New Zealand rugby in a number of facets, but how they fix it, I'm blowed if I know. And, you know, and you're going behind the scenes and you're talking about politics. It kind of leaves me a bit cold, Smithy, and I almost prefer to leave it to others to argue and discuss this. I mean, everyone's got their theory. You talk to people at club level and they say they've been neglected. The National Provincial Championship, which to me remains such a vital cog in New Zealand rugby, because it's the only tribal competition we have. I mean, when you and I talk rugby, you talk Hawke's Bay, I talk Wellington. Mm-hmm. And when the two meet, it's a great rivalry, and that to me is what rugby is all about. It's about tribalism and all the rest of it. Of course, it's all being complicated by professional rugby and the demands that players make and salaries they need. We're talking about getting crowds along to pay for those salaries, and boy, it's complicated, Smithy, and I'm glad I'm not having to sort it out.
Good on you, Nisbo. You just you sit where you are. That's where we want you anyway. Thank you very much for your time this morning, and have a good week, man. Thank you.
Good on you, Smithy. Good to talk to you, man.